Well, good morning, everybody, and good morning to those of you online as well. I've been asked just to mention one announcement, and that is that it is a house group week. So if you are a member of a house group, there are house groups this week. Well, our text this morning is, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ." In the Bible, a journey is often a metaphor for faith. It represents walking with God, discovering His will, and learning and leaning on Him through unexpected challenges and transitions. It is also a dynamic journey that involves growth. Now, all of us have been on journeys of one sort or another. And before a journey begins, there is thought given as to where we want to go, what's the place like, and how are we going to get there. Now, our Christian journey starts with us getting to know God. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 1, and verses 19 and 20, asserts that when humans observe the universe, they should naturally deduce the existence of a supreme, all-powerful creator. But some are just curious and want to find out more before reaching a conclusion. And so our journey starts with a simple but deep question: is there a God? And if there is, how do I get to know Him? Now, our journeys often start with looking at guidebooks and maps to get a better picture of our destination and how to get there. On our spiritual journey, our guidebook is the Bible, and we have the additional help of God's Holy Spirit, Christian pastors and teachers, and fellow Christians who are on the same journey. So, what do we learn from the Bible about the God we seek? God is love. His love is self-sacrificing and unconditional, supremely seen by sending His Son, Jesus, as an atonement for sin. God is holy. He is completely pure, set apart from sin, and righteous in all His ways. God is merciful. He withholds the punishment we deserve and extends forgiveness, grace, and compassion. God is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. That is, He is all-powerful, all-knowing, and ever-present. God created all things, including us. He created us to have a loving relationship with Him. And so we prepare for our personal journey. When we go on holiday abroad, our preparations will include finding out what we need to take, whether we need a visa, or if there are any other issues we need to consider. Our journey of faith throws up a significant issue, that of sin. God is a God of love, and in order to create people who would freely return that love, God gave men and women free will, so that they could choose to follow His ways or reject them. Mankind chose to follow their own ways and not God's, and sin entered the world. Sin is anything a person says, does, or thinks that goes against what God, our loving Creator, wants. God cannot stand any sin, and so mankind's relationship with God was broken. But God's love was so great, He gave mankind a second chance. He could not forget sin, for there was a price to be paid for it. The price being eternal separation from God, that is death. So He sent His only Son, Jesus, into the world He created, where He lived a sinless life, and at the end of His earthly life, He was crucified upon a cross as an eternal sacrifice for our sins. He paid the price for our sins. John 3, verse 16 summarizes what happened. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So to recap, we found out a bit about God and that we are separated from him by sin. We've seen that God sent his Son Jesus to deal with this sin for those who truly believe that they are sinners and that Jesus died to take away their sin. When we get a visa, it allows us to enter another country. God's visa is his Son Jesus Christ. Because of his victory over sin and death on Easter Sunday, when he was raised from the dead, believers in him are allowed into God's presence because Jesus has atoned for their sin. It is decision time for our holiday. We have looked at our holiday destination and made up our minds. So we've contacted the travel agent and made a booking. Our spiritual journey truly begins when we realize that we are sinners, and it is that sin which is preventing us from having a personal relationship with God. But as our deep desire is to know God, we regret the things that are keeping us from him. And this leads us to a personal repentance. This is feeling a deep sorrow and contrition for our sins, and a recognition of what Jesus did on the cross when he took upon himself the sins of the world for those who trust and believe in him. The act of repentance is not just saying sorry, but also involves a change of direction. Having recognized those things in our lives that grieve God, we choose to walk a different path, one that pleases him. Here are a few examples of people who repented and chose a different path to follow, a path set by God. The Apostle Paul was a man who was persecuting Christians and was determined to stamp out early Christianity. Until one day Jesus met him on the road to Damascus, and his life changed dramatically. Now, our coming to know Jesus may not be so dramatic as Paul's, but all Christians have come to know Jesus and to trust him as Savior and Lord. Lee Strobel worked as an investigative journalist for the Chicago Tribune and was a self-proclaimed atheist. After his wife converted to Christianity, he was determined to disprove Christianity and tried for 2 years to do so. However, much to his surprise, during his investigation, the evidence he uncovered for the history and truth of Christianity led to his own conversion to the faith. Since then, he has written numerous inspiring books, including The Case for Christ, The Case for Faith, and The Case for a Creator. Alistair McGrath, a biochemist at Oxford, was a committed atheist during his youth in Northern Ireland. His scientific training initially fueled his disbelief in God. But as he probed deeper into the mysteries of existence, he became convinced that Christianity provided a more coherent understanding of reality than atheism. He later became a Christian apologist and author of several books. The Dawkins Delusion was his response to Richard Dawkins' book, The God Delusion. You see, God is quietly at work in people's lives across the world. But he does not force himself upon anyone. Rather, he knocks quietly on the door of a person's heart. It says in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will go in and eat with him, and he with me." Having booked our holiday, we start making arrangements. For example, working out what needs to be done first. Do we need to buy some new clothes? Do we need a new case? How are we going to get to the airport? Once we have taken that first step of faith, we need to work out whether we need to make any changes in our priorities or lifestyle. How we can know God better so that we can deepen our relationship with him. One of the early things we need to do is to turn to our Bibles, for this gives us a clearer picture of God and what pleases him and how we can get to know him better. Now, some people prefer to read the Bible quietly on their own. There are a number of aids available to help people to do this, the most common being Bible reading notes, which split the Bible into bite-sized chunks to be read each day. This gives some structure to reading the Bible. There are other ways. For example, Owen is reading through the Bible and sharing this with others online. Other people prefer to meet in small groups so that they can study the Bible with others, often in an informal and congenial setting. I have attended a house group for many years, and I can say from personal experience that it is a wonderful way of looking at the Bible, getting to know other people really well, and thereby experiencing real Christian fellowship. And most important of all, I have found that it has provided much nourishment to help my faith grow. When preparing for a journey to a holiday destination, we look at any dietary requirements and the foods available to us, for we need sustenance. Similarly, on our spiritual journey, we need spiritual food to nourish us. This will include such things as prayer, worship, Bible study, taking communion, and praising God. So let's look at some of this spiritual food. Prayer is the amazing gift Christians are given to talk directly to God. It is not just words, it is far deeper than that. It is an attitude of our hearts and minds towards God, which he in heaven immediately recognizes as prayer. It is, as it were, an appeal to his heart. Today, many people like to be in control of almost everything they do. They do not like to be outside their comfort zone. But this mindset leaves little room for God to be involved in their lives. So it is little wonder that the main times that a person cries out to God for help is when they are in trouble, when they are not in control, and when they are well outside their comfort zone. For a person who wants to grow in faith, they should find time to talk to God in prayer every day, not just when they are in trouble. Praying alone and praying in groups are both vital. Many people prefer praying alone, and whilst this is very important, I believe that praying in groups should be actively encouraged. Jesus promised that where two or three were gathered in his name, he would be present. There is something special and uplifting about praying with others. But of course, there are barriers that must be overcome, journeys that need to be made outside our comfort zones. For example, overcoming the fear of talking to God in front of other people, for this is far too personal, and I may show myself up. Fear of the unknown. I've never been to a prayer meeting, and it sounds scary. I haven't got enough time to go to a prayer meeting. But funnily enough, if an unexpected treat is available, and for me that would be a ticket to watch Cardiff City, then miraculously I can shift things around so that I can attend the game. Praying people are greatly encouraged when they see answers to prayer. Praying people are not super spiritual people. Rather, they are people who have the faith to believe they are conversing with their Heavenly Father about people and situations that they want to bring before him, asking for his help and guidance, and believing that he will act in the best possible way in any given circumstance. That does not mean that he will always act in the way we expect, but God does hear our prayers and answers them in his time and in his way. When we first choose to follow Jesus, we have so much to learn, and it is very easy for a person to be blown off course by subtle temptations put in our way. So at first, the best we can hope to do is to hold our ground. But as a person's relationship with God grows, he or she becomes better equipped to deal with the temptations that come their way. Because as a Christian grows, he or she becomes more attuned to what God wants. One of the most famous conversions to the Christian faith in the last century was C.S. Lewis. He was an Oxford professor, scholar, and author. In his early 30s, he was an avowed staunch atheist. But then, like the Apostle Paul, he met Jesus, and he became one of the most influential Christian writers of the 20th century. His books include Mere Christianity, the Screwtape Letters, and the Chronicles of Narnia. The Christian journey is described in Hebrews 12 as a race. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. To run a good race, we need to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, to keep him central to all we do. Let us therefore commit ourselves to pray more, to deepen our relationship with Jesus, and to run a good race, so that our journey will reach its eternal destination, which is heaven. Amen.